Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Fabulous. Give someone a high five and you can take your seats. So good. So I was thinking about like Hope City Church and just thinking about how much this church is a house of champions. Like it's got a champion spirit in it. And this week I was had the honor of being with Joyce and Henri Samutu. And they were with us last weekend. And Joyce comes, Henri was a part of Whitefield's training college, and now they're heading off to establish a medical center in the middle of the Republic of Congo. And so far they've raised $4.5 million. Their goal is $6 million, you know, they just need to trim off one of the wings of it. I think they can go now, right, and go ahead and do it. But they just, the spirit upon them is amazing. And I realize it's because they're incubated in a place of champions. I don't know if your spirit's registered it. And this week we found out that Glenn Barrett, who was my assistant or associate for 12 years, from when he was 23 years of age, he came over from Bible College in Australia and through thick and through thin, fighting both demons and deacons, he was a part of the Hit Factory. And this week he's been made the leader of the Assemblies of God in Great Britain and Northern Ireland, which is overseeing 500 churches. 500 churches. There's a spirit in this place. And Jean-Marc and Ruth, who are here, where are you, Jean-Marc and Ruth? Just give me a quick wave. Are heading off to the Congo for a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, but they're heading off to the Republic of Congo, miles from, that's the outback. But there's a spirit in them that says, we need to be there. You know, they're armor bearers to leadership. They've lifted my arms up through themselves and with their children. They lifted Andy and Karen when they were in Accra, lifted their arms up. Now they're thinking, hey, we're going to lift up the arms of Joyce and Henri. It's a champion spirit. This is not average. This is not cooling down at their age. This is heating up. This is them on the cutting edge of the kingdom of God because the spirit of it's in this place. And then I think of Lou and I think of Chris and I think they went through a couple of years of utter poverty as they made the change from being core in the leadership of Hope City Church to moving to influencing the nation through politics. You wouldn't even know how bereft they were and how financially stripped down they were, but they went through the narrowest of gaps to come into the widest of spaces. And the influence that Lou has in the Labour Party and also in the Conservative Party is astronomical. You know, somehow God's given her a role where she's not tied down to having to give political spin. And yet she's there influencing. And I think, why would you do that if not for a champion spirit in this place? This building, when I went past this building back in, 1998, this building was empty. It used to make garden tools and wheelbarrows. I think it was Spear and Jackson Company factory, and they'd moved, and so this place was empty. The guy who owned it was one of the directors of Sheffield United, and everyone was saying, just have a little bit of the building. He was saying you don't need the entire building. You just need a little bit of the building because the church was just a little bit of a church. And against all advice, we took on the whole building. I said, listen, I want to buy the whole building for £200,000. And eventually he said, I hate you. I got a phone call. He said, I hate you, but you can have it for £200,000. Just an utter miracle. Why? Because you're breathing in the champion spirit. You know, Waverly is just so much a part of the champion spirit. You'd have to have like rocks in your head to think that that doesn't fit the dream capacity. It doesn't fit the history capacity. That you'd have to come back to reduced, small, average thinking to think that Waverly's not a part of us. You know, it's excessive. It's beyond us. It's risky. But that's us. You know, we weren't born for the harbors of life. We weren't born for small and titchy and reduced and doubt-filled and average-minded. You know, we're built for the vast oceans of possibility. That's what you're a part of. I could stand here for an hour, for 10 hours, and I could go through person after person who's sitting here this morning. I could talk about the spirit that took a whole team over to Kuala Lumpur, the spirit that took Ali and Karen over to Accra, the spirit that's taken just everybody everywhere. It's the spirit in this place. And there is a shadow that's following you, that's trying to disconnect you. There is something in the air, a force, a spirit of disconnection that wants to make you feel it's okay for them, but it's not for me. And I want to say it's a lying spirit. And I want to kill that spirit, because I want every one of you to realize you've got the champion spirit. If you're living substandard, the imposter is you, not the spirit. It's not the big dream isn't the imposter. What are you doing dreaming big? It's the smallness of doubt, the shadow of doubt that's the imposter. I kind of want to strip that from you, whether it's a person or whether it's an inner voice within your spirit, within your soul. I want to strip you from the shadow that within that shadow dwells a spirit of condemnation and a spirit of accusation, telling you that you are not enough. It's all the spirit needs to do is tell you that you're not enough. When in the history of God interacting through humanity were we ever enough? When were we so mighty and so strong that we had our complete act together? When in the history of mankind has God ever interacted with the wholesome of humanity and not the brokenness of humanity? You are enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a delayed reaction because there's a shadow over you. You are enough. There's a spirit saying you're not good enough. Well, what is that? Well, who's the one who placed a spirit of perfection to grade you and to judge you and for them to say you're not good enough? Where's grace gone from his church? Of course we're not good enough. Of course we deserve hell. But by the grace of God and by the goodness of God, he picked us up out of the miry clay and placed us on the rocks to stay. And it's through grace and through mercy that we inherit the promises of God. It's never through goodness. You've been lied to. There's a champion spirit. You're breathing it in right now. There's the highlands of a champion spirit of faith. You're born for excessive things, for great things, for outstanding things. But somehow people have said you're not enough. Within that accusation is a lie from hell. Because you are enough. Because you were never called to be your own savior. You were never called to be your own God. People telling you you don't scrub up enough. That you're not complete enough to be a part of something great. Someone or something or some spirit is measuring you against the spirit of perfection. Only God's perfect. Even at your very best, you're on a journey to excellence. We are being transformed. It's present tense. We are being. We haven't been. No one's made it. So what's this made it spirit doing? Staring over you while you're being made. Where the hell has this spirit come from that wants to intimidate you, make you feel small, make you feel like you've missed it? Where is this accusation coming from? It's from the pit of hell, because it's not Christian, because it's not grace-filled, because it doesn't give you hope. It just condemns and squashes and accuses. We need to rid the church of the spirit of accusation, because it ain't got any grace in it. It's filled with dead wood. It's filled with deadness. People measure you without grace, without kindness, without love. And the only reason why people do it and why spirits do it is because they're keeping a record of wrongs. People keep record of wrongs. That's a definition of hatred. Because the definition of love is that we have no record of wrongs. So the spirit of hatred must keep a record of wrongs. You don't belong to the dark side. We belong to the light side. We belong to the kingdom of love. God is love. He keeps no record of wrongs through his covenant. Instead of you seeing strengths and opportunities, all you begin to see is weaknesses and barriers. That's the problem we've got in Hope City Church. You should be seeing strengths and opportunities. You should be saying, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. Like the donkey. But instead, you're going, woe is me. Why would you do that? It's because you're listening to the enemy. This is the enemy's tactics, right? If you strengthen your strengths, then we'll get genius. If you strengthen your weaknesses, we'll get average. And if you ignore your strengths and your weaknesses, we'll get stagnation. So I suspect what the enemy's trying to do is stagnate our church by disconnecting you from the spirit in Jean-Marc and Ruth. From the spirit in Johnny and Trish. From the spirit, Siobhan and Steve in Frankfurt. All hell is against you. It just needs to put you under a shadow of doubt, and it's got you. Well, praise God for preaching, because I'm here to tell you that there is genius in you, and you to get back to strengthening your strengths and believing why God's put you on the planet is because he's got a set of strengths for you. He's got a set of talents for you. He's got a calling for you, because God wants you to focus on strengthening your strengths so that you can be genius to the world around about you. Not average, but brilliant to the world around about you. You're called to be brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant, because you're inherited something of the Creator God within you. And if you can strip you back of condemnation, strip you back of accusation, we've got a chance to be a brilliant church once again. Our history is brilliant. We're not breathing in the air of our history today. We're creating the highlands of our future today. I thank God for Waverly, because it confronts you. It confronts us, and it makes you decide, I'm in. But you can't do that with an inferiority complex. You can't do that under the shadow of accusation. You can only do it under the shadow, under the light of, I am good enough. Because I'm not my own savior. I am enough, because my God is sufficient for me. I think it's time we got back to the word of God and not the word of rotten Job's comforters, and stood our ground in the face of strong opposition. It's time to stop listening to the voice of your critics or the voice within that says you've fallen short of the glory of God. Because it's a lie. Because there is a bridge called grace that is bringing truckloads of glory into your life today. All you got to do is open the bridge up by faith. Bridge open. Come on, Ubers of goodness. Bridge is open. Bridge is open. Come on, come on. Reconnect, reconnect. Don't sit on the edges, say, I'm new to church. What's that got to do with anything? That's just you're harboring distrust. Put that aside and come into and root yourself into the greatest journey that mankind has ever been part of, the kingdom of God. Time for a clap. Moderate clap, because we're saving it up for later. We need to echo and own the words that Jesus spoke to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. But he said to me, he said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. You and the grace of God is a great success story. My grace is sufficient. Not maybe, not will be, not sometime. It is. It's current tense. His grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your sense of weakness. What is it saying about weakness? I've been condemned for my weakness, and now you're saying my weakness is an open door? What is the scripture saying? Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly, says Paul, about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may not rest upon me. That's why I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions, in difficulties, in trolls on Twitter and in Facebook. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Take that, enemy. Take that, Satan. Take that, Satan. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's every reminder of your weakness. You need to remind yourself of his strength. And when you're getting weaker, you're actually getting stronger. For when I'm weakened, that's when God brings his strength. I can only assume your future is bigger than I thought it was before I started preaching. Because the hell and the darkness that's tried to trap you and disconnect you must be a sign and a wonder of the reverse of what God wants to do, is totally make a champion out of you. When David found himself living, when David found the town that he was living in totally destroyed by the Amalekites, and his two wives were taken off and all the women and children were taken as slaves. This is what the Bible says, how David, before he became king, how he felt. 1 Samuel 36, verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking about stoning him. And each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons, because of their sons and their daughters. It's amazing how people reflect their own fear. It's amazing how the abused becomes the abuser. It's amazing how the insecure becomes the one that propagates insecurity. It's amazing how the one hated becomes the hater. It's amazing what happened to David, because it wasn't David's fault. This was a man in learning. They'd all been fighting with the Philistines. They were in the wrong place. They were at the wrong time, yet totally understandable, because there was a death threat on David and his 600 fighting men from Saul. People often accuse us out of the transfer of the darkness of their own heart. And you're going to have to put some barriers up so that you can create a faith incubation chamber. But the Bible says, but David, in the end of that verse, found strength in the Lord. He recentered himself. Another version, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Not with the voices of friends. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He recentered himself that the call of God was upon him to take the nation and to lead the nation. And then he re-inquired, what does God think? And when he found out what God thought, he recentered himself in strict obedience in the center of his will. Well, I suspect that's what you need to do. To re-inquire of your God and to ask God, what does he think? Because you spent the last 18 hours thinking about what they think. And David encouraged himself. He put a barrier around himself. He knew this was God time. This was re-centered time for him. But when they won, nothing was missing. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 17 to 19, David fought the Amalekites from dusk until evening of the next day. He worked hard, and none of them got away except for 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing. Whatever fight you're in right now, you're going to win this fight. Whatever the enemy's taken away, God will restore bigger, brighter, better than anything that was taken away. Because when God redeems, God restores, and he restores stronger than anything that was taken away from your life. Nothing will be missing. Your destiny's intact. Your calling's intact. The Spirit of God's intact. The champion spirit's intact. The resurrection's intact. Everything's correct. Everything's accounted for. Everything's intact. So stop it. Everything's right. Everything's right. Nothing will be missing. Future of our church, let me just tell you, is greater than the sum of everything in the past within this church. The glory of the current temple and what it's about to become is greater than anything that's ever gone before us. We are in line for the greatest move of God we've ever seen in the history of Hope City and in the history of Sheffield, the history of South Yorkshire, the history of the North of England, the history of England. This is a stitch up for a revival of the Spirit of God. But revivals don't just come across the hills, they come through you. God wants to use you to become a revival maker within the land. You're going to win this fight. You're going to get back your confidence that the enemy's taken away. David found strength in the Lord. He found it, and he got it from God. Let me digress. That if we were to put all your weaknesses in the back of a dump truck, like all of your weaknesses, every weakness you've got, every weakness you think you've got, in the back of a truck, 50% of all your weaknesses are fictitious. They're made up. In amongst that 50% that's totally made up is what we call non-strengths. It was never a weakness. It was a non-strength. I'm not weak at viola playing. I'm not weak at hugging babies. It's a non-strength. I'm not weak at javelin. Stop accusing me of throwing the javelin wrongly. It's not a weakness. It's a non-strength. And 50% of everything that you mull over through the spirit of accusation is a lie. You were never called to be strong in your non-strengths, because you're called to strengthen your strengths. This is what Einstein said. He said, everyone's a genius. But if you judge a fish for its ability to climb trees, it'll live its whole life believing that it's stupid.
You're a genius. You're not stupid. You're a genius. But someone's criticized you because you're not climbing trees as good as you should be. No, 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 I'm a fish. I don't climb trees. Can you see the warfare over you're not good enough? No, 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 I wasn't called to be good at that. Well, why weren't you called to be good at that? Because you're called to be good at that. The stuff of my non-strengths is genius because my non-strengths is your strength. And all God's trying to do is put the puzzle together. I mean, stop criticizing someone for not coming up with the stuff that you want them to have. You come up with it. You know, there's I don't know if you call it an adage or call it a hypothetical, but a lot of speakers mention this, that they give a hypothetical of a five people sitting down in a restaurant. They're the five ascension gifts mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. And the waiter comes in and he trips and he spills everything over the ground, right? And this is the comments from each of the gifts. The pastor says, "Are you okay?" The prophet says, "I saw that coming." The evangelist says, "Is there another waiter?" The teacher says, "They need to get trained better." The apostle is just thinking about a chain of restaurants. But see, that's you. You see the need because the need reflects the gift. You've got the gift, that's why you see the need. But most of the time you see the need and you forget about your gift. So someone said you're rubbish, and so then you say, tell everybody else they're not rubbish because they're not meeting the need. No, if you see the need, you use the gift. Oh my God, is this brilliant teaching for you this morning? It's just that you caught yourself in the miry clay under the spirit of accusation and condemnation. This dream offering's amazing. I've got the gift of faith. You've got the gift of mercy. Someone else has got the gift of creativity. And if we give all these beautiful gifts under the spirit of sacrifice to God, what on earth are we going to create here? You know, sometimes your non-strengths can create a strength by default, but it becomes your strength set. For example, people with dyslexia. They've got difficulty with the written word. Do you know it's completely disproportionate, the amount of dyslexic people who are running the largest businesses in the world is disproportionate to the number of people who have dyslexia. Like it's mushroomed. I tell you why. Because I kept a confident spirit. Told them, I'm going to get crushed by this. You're calling it a weakness or a disorder. It's not. It's a non-strength. So I'm going to hold myself together here. I'm not going to cry in self-pity. But when it comes to classroom discussion, I'm going to be the loudest person. When it comes to communicating what I think, I'm going to be the loudest person. When it comes to that vote in school for school captain, I'm going to put my 2 cents worth. When it comes to university and talking to the lecturers, I'm going to talk this thing through. When it comes to selling, I've got 10 years of selling myself because I've created a muscle where there was no muscle. It's because they didn't lose their confidence. I just read. I know time's up because the keyboard's on. These are people with dyslexia: Richard Branson, Harrison Ford, Will Smith, Robin Williams, John Lennon, George Washington, JFK, Picasso, Bill Gates, Muhammad Ali, Jim Carrey, Holly Willoughby, Steve Jobs, Einstein, Spielberg, Hilfiger, Keira Knightley, Whoopi Goldberg, Tom Cruise. What's happening? What's happening? It's because they picked their spirit up. It's because they might not have encouraged themselves in the Lord, but they encouraged themselves. And they gained a strength where there was no strength. Let me be personal to you. I don't know whether I was born this way, but I've got low empathy. Like, I've done a little bit of study on it, that somehow in the front of my brain there must be something a little bit undeveloped. So while everyone's crying, I'm not crying. And I used to think, gosh, Dave, what are you doing being a pastor? Like, you used to, the same as what goes on in your brain. Well, I haven't got it. It's a huge thing for me, thinking, Dave, surely pastors should be the most empathetic people on the planet. What? And you've got almost zero. And I used to think that's, and you know, and I've thought, is this repressed emotion? Is it because I've been through crises? And, you know, is it repressed? And you know, maybe a little bit repressed. Got a bit of a way to go. You know, but then I've thought, no, it's the way my brain is. This is what's happened, right? I don't feel things, but I see things. Oh my God. I have got eyes as big as an owl. You don't need to feel things to fix things. You need to see things to fix things. You see, and I would have thought you need to feel the infirmities of others. No. With these eyes, I've grown a pair of eyes that sees the infirmity of others. I just, these eyes never shut. People think, Dave, well, you can't care because you're not empathetic. No, these eyes never shut. They never sleep. These are the largest eyes you've ever seen. It's a created strength. I don't know about you, but I've got no action plan. I just put everything in action straight away. I've got no list of things to do because I'm doing all the things I should be doing. Okay, I haven't got empathy, but I'm full of compassion. I have developed compassion, created compassion, grown in compassion, cultivated compassion, manufactured compassion. I've been transformed into being compassionate thanks to a non-strength. See what I did there? Aha. You need to do the same. Stop crying over what you're not good at. Stop being condemned over stupid voices of people with too higher an expectation on you. Smile at me. Aha. I'm making you feel much better about yourself. Because people have put a spirit of perfection over you. And they've said, match up. Don't you dare match up. Find your strength zone. Find your calling. And find your God. Let other people be your armor bearer. Let other people see what you cannot see and do what you can't do. And surely with Waverly, that's the opportunity for the merciful, empathetic people to think, this vision for Waverly in 3 weeks' time is so magnificent that you pull out all of the stops to put everything behind a mercy mission. For me, I'm your facilitator. I'm the faith man, and I'm here to pillar up this thing and to lift up your head and lift up your hands and put everything in faith behind breaking open doors so that the empathetic people can walk through those doors. And then the creative people thinking, well, Dave, how are you going to do it? And then how are they going to do it? They're the creative people. They're not sitting back as critics. They're the enablers. If we put a spirit of sacrifice behind this, it's just going to be absolutely remarkable. just remarkable. I'll pull it up and I'll say that this, that 50% of all of your strengths, all of your weaknesses are mythical. The other 50% of every weakness that you have is reversible. Because God puts His strength on our weaknesses. So if you're weak in character and very impatient, you know what you're going to become? The most patient person in the world. If you're an angry person, you're going to become the most peaceful person in the world. Whatever brokenness, whatever fracture is in your heart, that's the place of future strength. The greatest cities in the world that reflect this aren't London, they're not Sydney, they're not New York, they're Tokyo, they're Los Angeles. They're San Francisco, because they're incredible cities that are built on fault lines. San Andreas fault line. They're a picture of your life. That your greatest strength is your anointing. Where does the anointing rest? On your fractures. So don't let the world condemn you for your fractures. That's the place where God builds His greatest skyscrapers of strength. I've got to pull out, but you know, when I was at school, like within my mind, I had just a melancholic streak that used to like do postmortems, just because my brain just won't stop. And so I used to do postmortems, and there used to be quicksand that I could feel myself being swallowed down by quicksand in my spirit. And I used to, if I was with you, I'd be with you for 2/3 of the time. The other third that I'd be obsessing about something, and I'd just be there for quite some time until, I don't know, circumstances or time just kind of pulled me out, right? I've got to say, it's not there anymore. It's gone. It's utterly gone. Utterly gone. And people say, Dave, we are born that way. This way. We are born this way. No, I wasn't born this way. I was born obsessive. I was born with quicksand in my spirit, totally fractured. So who are you, Dave? Constructed by God. What is this I see? It's the anointing of God. Who is this that presents himself before you this morning? Come closer. Made by God. Uh-huh. See, you don't be fooled. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom made by God. And people will condemn you. The people that do marriage seminars around the world are people that had a broken marriage. I've had a pretty good marriage. I've got a pretty good marriage. Jensen Aberdeen opening up a City Hearts house in Aberdeen. I've got a pretty good marriage. But the reason why we don't do marriage seminars is because we never had a bad marriage. Because bad marriage is a fractured marriage. And upon fractures come skyscrapers of ministry. You only minister strongly out of your weakness point. I come from an analytical family. They're from a faith man, because it's the opposite spirit. I'll finish just with a quote from David. This is what he says. 1 Samuel 30 verse 8, he says, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue the raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, the prophet answered. You'll certainly overtake them and succeed in your mission. I love that. Because we're not just delegating everything over to God, saying, God, you just do it. This is a partnership between our best and God's highest. So David didn't just say, well, you get him back, get my wives back, get everyone else's wives back. He said, listen, how fast am I going to have to run here? Waverly. How fast are we going to have to run here? And God says, well, you're going to run faster than you think, because you're actually going to overtake your enemy. And when they overtook their enemy, then God set ambushes, and God sent confusion, then God sent weakness, and they were able to rout the enemy and bring back everything that was theirs with nothing missing. This is a partnership between our best and God's rest.
Let the spirit of faith. We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.